Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a great start to your day. 9:04 on the clock. And plenty to coming up here. Mm-hmm. We got some Then He Writes stories, good stories of the day to get into, plenty of that. We did have some entertainment news we were going to get into. We're going to actually save that for Director's Cut.
Okay.
Seth and I are going to be recording that on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have like what's new on your small screen and big screen and everything. And you can catch that right after Seth Faces the Music on Sunday. Seth
yes.
Faces the Music, of course, 6 to 8. Director's Cut, 8 to 9. Be sure to join us for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk more about that maybe a little bit later on Friday's show.
Yeah.
For now, we got to get to this. I don't want to be rude. We got to get to our opening topic here. I told them they would have the first bet, and we got to get to that first. And it is five rude things. Five rude things people do on Thanksgiving.
Mm.
So sort of a That Ain't Right story kind of mixed in here with the Thanksgiving
okay.
story.
Love it.
It's a turducken. Got a story inside it.
Oh, boy.
So certain things are obviously rude at Thanksgiving, like chewing with your mouth open or, burping in somebody's face, putting your feet on the table.
Oh, jeez.
Who does that?
No, I saw a relative once almost put their feet on the table.
Oh, no.
Almost. Maybe the quickest, most darkest look I've ever seen my Nana have on her face. She shot over at my friend, and yeah.
No. If looks could kill.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, yeah. So here they are. Here are a few less obvious things people still do, like bringing something that requires cooking. If the food you're bringing requires oven space, clear it with the host first.
Please do. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I think that especially in today's day and age, somebody bringing a dish with them is actually a really classy thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got everybody. There are plenty of people that have allergies or have different, diets or just what have you. Mm-hmm. Maybe they just don't like turkey. Maybe it's not any of that stuff.
Yeah, right.
Whatever the case might be, I don't think there's anything rude about that. You're still showing up. You're showing actually. I think it's classy because you're showing, hey, this is how badly I wanted to be here.
Yep.
That I'm not coming for the food. I'm coming for you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm here to see mm-hmm. you guys.
Right.
I think that would mean even more. So to me, that doesn't seem like such a bad thing. I know some people get bent out of shape about this mm-hmm. one. Get over yourself, honestly. I mean, just let people eat what they're going to eat. Now, if you're bringing like something to be cooked in the oven, that seems a little. not just rude,
yeah.
but a little like, what are you thinking?
Presumptuous.
That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you, Melissa. Presumptuous, because I mean, the oven's going to be busy. Of all days in the year, a whole year, that's the day you know for darn sure the oven's busy.
Yep.
I could see this as a skit, though.
Yes.
Like you got some people in the kitchen. They're doing their tasks. They got everything. It's working like a well-oiled machine. And somebody walks in with two bags of groceries and clear out. I gotta make my dish. I don't care about the rest, y'all. But
it's a great sketch. It's a great idea.
That would be a good one.
Starting tense conversations. That means bringing up things like politics, religion, and family issues. You're not changing anyone's opinion over Thanksgiving dinner,
no.
so it's best to just avoid that stuff. Let me repeat this one more time for the people in back. You are not changing anyone's opinion.
Yeah.
Like, think about what you're doing. Now, is this just about you getting on your little hill so you can have your moment and talk about yourself and your beliefs and your feelings? Is this about you, or is it really about what you're talking about and you genuinely care about it and want to open people's minds? This happens to every one of us at different stages in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, when we're teenagers or we're just discovering more about the world or when you come back from college and you're quote-unquote woke and open-minded and, you want to have that conversation with that one relative that you know is still from the old days, like, don't. Just you're
not
at
Thanksgiving. There's a better time.
Absolutely, Melissa. There are plenty. There are over 300 some days a year you could be doing this.
Exactly.
Any other mm-hmm. day. Why do it on this one day? Oh, but I don't see this relative any other time. Again,
then how important is it?
Well, CC answer one. I mean, you're not going to even see him again. So what's the point? Like, why have your one moment with this person be something that's all bent out of shape?
Sorry, James.
I was just going to quickly just wrap up. If you know what the person has an opposite viewpoint of yours, avoid the topic. You don't have to talk about it. There's nothing mandatory about it. These things that divide us take up enough of our time, enough of our days. They have taken enough from us as a society.
Yeah.
We need to put our foot down on this one and stop letting this happen. And it's an individual thing. We all have to do it. It's not something we can expect, you know, the media outlets or you know, politicians to do it or anything. That's part of their game.
Mm-hmm.
It's on us as individuals. You know what? I'm walking into Thanksgiving dinner, and I ain't getting into this with Uncle Joe. You know, I know he's got this one thing that I don't agree with or whatever, but mm-hmm. we're not talking about that. We're going to talk football. We're going to talk, music, whatever. You don't have to talk about these things. You don't have to let this stuff divide you. Mm-hmm. You choose those things.
Yep. In my experience, the person that's bringing that up is usually doing it to call attention to themselves.
Yeah.
And to make them the center of attention, which
yep.
isn't meant to change anybody's mind or make anything better. It's just about getting attention.
Right.
It seems like so many people that, and I say they see, they must feel like they don't have any other personality trait to hang on than the political, you know, aspirations or feelings or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Like
being
you got
confrontational.
Yeah. You got more to your person. Everybody does. Everybody's got more than that. You know, politics ain't worth that, man. It is not worth it. Caring, mm-hmm. understanding, being informed, absolutely. Yes, 1,000,000,000% you should be doing that. Outside of that, I mean, voting's done. You know,
yeah.
everybody that's been voted is already in office. We got another election coming up a little later. We'll deal with that when it does. But for right now, who's in office is who's in office. You ain't changing that. So work with what we got and certainly don't let it bleed into your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't think of a bigger waste of time than two people sitting there debating politics and nothing's going to change. Now, I'm not talking about their opinions. I mean, politically. It's not as if you have this discussion and all of a sudden, you know what? Everything's better. Or, oh, that's going to change or anything. You're not all you're doing is wasting time with loved ones. All you're doing is wasting time.
Well, you know what's more fun? Oh, go ahead, Seth.
I was going to say, what James was just saying, it sounds like it's switched over because it's usually what you agree with. Certain times when you're in college,
yes.
and you know what I'm talking about here.
Yes.
When you have those discussions, and again, nothing's going to change.
No.
It's just you're doing it because, well, for a lot of different reasons, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's more fun to go into this kind of situation where you know you're walking into differing opinions and different political views and things like that. Have a ready-to-go list of subjects to change to. Like, just be ready to change the subject. Did you know that octopus are really intelligent? You know, like, just stupid little things that can derail the conversation completely, and people are like, what?
What?
And then it moves on.
I did not realize you've been at any of our Thanksgiving or Christmases, Melissa, because this is something I've been doing since I was a little kid.
Oh, see, he's good at it.
I drive people crazy with it because as a little kid, I was very intrusive. I didn't have as much tact. Now I just throw it out there like the way that some people like to just start fires and start fights and conversations. Mm-hmm. I like to do the same thing, but with water balloons. Just douse a water.
Yep.
I drop a water balloon in that conversation, and boom. What I like to do is bring up family memories, especially ones that tie those two people in.
Nice.
And we got 1,000,000,000 of them, so it's low-hanging fruit, really.
Yeah. But that's a good way to do it because it reminds them of what brings them together instead of what divides them.
Yeah. Prying into people's personal business. That includes saying things like, why aren't you married yet?
Oh.
When are you having kids?
Yes.
Don't.
This is a story of my life.
I was going to say, James knows probably better than anybody.
Jimmy, have you met anybody yet?
Oh.
Jimmy, have you know your brother and sister have family? You know, oh, my God. Just no. Stop.
Leave me alone.
Please. let's see. Asserting yourself in the kitchen without being asked.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's a no-no.
People do that?
They should not.
Man, I can't think of many things that might get me more disowned. Like, I mean, disowned. Like,
yeah.
That's in trouble. Like, where everybody, you know, those scenes in the movie where everybody in the room looks at one person, like, and it just
big
stops.
Silence, yeah.
That exactly.
Just show yourself to the door.
I'm pretty sure just thinking about it actually got me in trouble. I can't imagine.
I mean, there's always offering to help, but yeah, just walking in and taking over, I can't imagine.
Yeah, right where I was going to go, Mel, I think that there's a big difference of, hey, can I? You guys need a hand in there? No? Okay. You know, that kind of thing. Or helping to clean up afterwards. Those are things you should definitely be doing. But that there's a big difference, you know, timing.
Actually, I have a thing about that. And I'm kind of curious to what, Melissa and James, your ideas on this one. I am of the mind that if you are invite people over to your house and they are your guests, they should not. I have a real problem with them helping clean or anything like that, because I feel that because they are my guests, that they shouldn't have to, you know, worry about any of that sort of thing. Even if, and I know a lot of people want to say, you know, oh, do you need any help or anything like that? For me, it's like, you know what, thanks for the offer, but no, you're my guest and I want you to relax
and get that stuff. Yeah.
So and it's not that I don't appreciate people offering, because I do, and I know people want to help. But for me, it's no, we'll take care of it, you know. Yeah. And that's kind of the reason one of the reasons I do that is because when I go to someone's house, I expect to be treated like a guest, and I think that's okay.
Yeah,
I don't want to be treated, you know, like something different. I just want to be your guest, kind of thing. So that's the way I look at it. I'm curious what you guys think.
I don't think that's a bad way of doing things. I know that for me, it's instinctual.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter where I have to.
Sure.
I'm lucky I don't do it at fast food restaurants. Like, hey, you guys need a hand back there? Like,
I can wipe my table. You got a rag?
Yeah. I've always been very, like, that's just it. I finish my meal. It's the first thing I think of is cleaning dishes. Mm-hmm. So offering is one thing, but I think that's a classy way of doing things. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And in both ways. I don't think it's bad to assume as a guest that you're not expected to do anything, but I do think that every guest should ask at least.
It's, as a courtesy, I think that's okay, especially. Well, you do have to be prepared for if they say yes too. I mean, if they do say, "Oh yeah, could you give me a hand?" and then do it, and that's
call
fine.
My bluff.
Yeah,
call my bluff.
And I don't look down on anyone who want, you know, maybe expects some help cleaning up after a big meal like Thanksgiving. That's cool.
Going to be what I'd say.
Yeah,
if it's a whole lot different if you're inviting another couple over to have dinner with you. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the entire family is inundating your house. Yeah. You're feeding 35 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, absolutely. People should pitch in and help afterwards. Well, then you should accept the help because that's a big mess.
That's why you have bring kids. Because they have no recourse. You have to say, oh, you're doing it. You're doing it.
I'm assuming.
Oh, so you're okay for her indentured servitude, but not for people.
You better believe
it. Stan, Seth.
I kind of thought that's why we had kids.
Isn't it? That's what I thought too.
Did I misunderstand? It's so that we can have people that like our music and that, you know, they clean up after us and stuff and eventually take care of us when we're old.
Exactly.
Like, right. I must have missed the memo or something.
And the entertainment they provide is a nice little bonus.
Kids are amazing. I love kids. And finally on this list, assuming you can take home leftovers. Don't just start loading up your Tupperware. Wait for the host to offer them. Who does that?
I think that'd be hilarious.
I actually, like, you were talking about sketches earlier, Melissa. That's a funny sketch to me, too. I love the idea. I don't, not just that. I like the idea of them coming in with, like, a Tupperware set. Like, they got their
own Tupperware. One for each dish.
Yeah, they got their own Tupperware and everything. And they're just grabbing stuff nonchalantly. Yeah.
Well, I got my lunches ready for next week.
Yeah.
Hope you guys didn't expect to have anything left over from this meal.
Edith, we don't have to cook for a week.
Now, Beth and I did recommend that this is something that you could do if you don't want leftovers. But that should be something coming from the host.
Exactly.
Not just, I'm going to grandma's for dinner. I'm bringing my Tupperware because, you know.
Don't assume. Yes. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. I do think that we all know what happens when you assume things. So, yeah, I think that's one that's definitely.
I like that her name was Edith, by the way, James Elson. I'm not sure where they came from, but.
I never think about a name. I just, whatever pops out of my mouth is whatever happens. I'm lucky I didn't get in trouble with that. We will take a quick break. We'll come back, and when we get back, which celebrity family would you like to join for Thanksgiving?
Oh, jeez.
That's coming up on Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, serious comedy to start your day. Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. And Seth was just informing me, actually, that starting on Monday, our bumper music's going to have some Christmas stuff in there. That's going to be pretty cool. Looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. So we went to break with this. Some people took this seriously, so let's go ahead and have some fun with it. Earlier this week, there was a list of celebrities that people would invite to their Thanksgiving, and now people are talking about the opposite. What celebrity family would you like to join? Some people took it seriously with a genuine experience like they'd like to have, and others just, you know, speculate, oh, wow, what would this be, a fly on the wall at this family's, you know, dinner or whatever. Kidding. So let's go through this list, and then we can go ahead and throw in any honorable mentions or family, you know, family you would like to go to. Mm-hmm. Do you want to do that first or last? I think it might be better
last.
To have.
Let's do that last.
Yeah. Get some examples, because I'll be honest, I have nothing at the top of my head for this one. I don't know. At number one on the list, the Kardashians. Quote, I'd be curious to see how they all interact without the cameras around. So that was the biggest reason why people chose them.
Boring. Do you think they actually have Thanksgiving together?
Yeah.
That's a good point, Melissa.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say, yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea, yeah. next on the list, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, maybe with Jennifer Garner and the kids coming by as well.
What?
Because Affleck used to be married to Jennifer Garner,
right.
Of course. So they're expecting this to be all three of them with the family and stuff. I think that they are... making a lot of assumptions on that one.
I think they are. Yeah.
I don't know any of those people, but...
They're celebrities, and they in a lot of people's minds, there's this fantasy world that they live in, so I guess that works.
That's a good point, Melissa. Very good point.
Yeah, and I do think that we do this with a lot of things in society, but more times than not, it's that same old tried and true answer. They're just like us.
Yes, it's
they
true.
They are no different than us. The Hanks family, they'd probably get the board game out after the meal. Yeah, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson and Colin Hanks, their other youngest son, I believe.
Forget the meal. I just want to play board games with them. That would be fun. I think that would be a lot of fun.
I want to play any board game in the world with Tom and Rita, yes.
Yeah. Put Colin in there, too. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. He's great. He's awesome. Yeah, I'd like that. Yeah. Number four on the list is a really good one. I think it's actually a very interesting one. And I remember when we were working on Mean Streets, we thought about this and we thought, hey, you know, this would be a really good idea. We should bring people over. I think that'd be
Marty,
a lot of fun.
Marty, calm down.
I'm sorry about that. Martin Scorsese, number four on the list. His family seems like it would be the best blend of really interesting and drama-free.
I would say that's cool with one caveat, when his mother was still alive, because his mother looked like one of the neatest people ever.
A little note behind the curtain kind of thing.
Yeah.
This was something I was going to, well, we'll do it now, I was going to put it on director's cut with Myth Takes.
Yeah.
A segment Seth came up with where we kind of dissect some of these things, these Hollywood legends and everything. For those that don't know, the movie Goodfellas, in the scene where they're all having pasta and eating, that's Marty's mom.
That's Marty's mom. Yep.
That's her real spaghetti they're eating. And they actually ran into trouble with the scene because both Pesci and De Niro would forget their lines because they were enjoying the food so much. These are two of the greatest actors of all time.
Yep.
And nobody, like, one of the things Robert De Niro's known for, having everything down. Like, he knows that script. He knows your lines. He knows the guy's lines and scenes he's not even in. And even he forgot his lines in that scene. Like,
it almost looks improvised. That scene almost looks like it was improvised,
I would love that. And obviously, being Italian and going to an Italian's family, it would be very... Actually, it feels a little too on the nose for me. Ryan Gosling and Eva Mendes, number five on the list. That's a pretty cool one. That's an interesting one. I wouldn't have thought of them.
It's a very... Well, I'll tell you one thing. It'd be a very good-looking Thanksgiving, for sure, yes.
You have never dressed up more to go into a house than that one. The Jonas Brothers, number six. Oh, with their families. Okay, not just the Jonas Brothers, but with their families.
The whole Jonas family. Okay, all right.
Okay.
The Wayans family, like Damon and Keenan and Marlon and all them.
How would you fit? That's like a huge family.
I don't know how you'd be sitting at the kids' table probably.
Yes.
And you're never going to eat. You're going to be laughing the whole time.
I know.
With all those funny people. Like, yeah. I don't know how you're going to get a bite.
They're like super serious when they're all together. That'd be funny.
That'd be hilarious.
Nobody cracks a joke.
No jokes at all.
Zelda, Robin Williams' oldest, talks about this sometimes, where people never believe her or whatever. But her dad was always like that. You know, he was always that way.
Like a normal person, right?
But at home, he would kind of like take it down a notch.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd just be this guy. They would have these really deep and fun conversations and all that. And like, people don't believe her. Like, yeah.
So it was a 24-hour party, right?
Yeah,
well, no.
He did have an off switch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of. Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg. Now, they probably don't have Thanksgiving together, but
Still,
in this imaginary scenario, why not,
have
some fun with it? And yeah, 100%. I would really like to know what the side dishes are at a Snoop Dogg Snoop Thanksgiving.
I can guarantee there's mac and cheese. Darn
right.
For sure.
I don't care what the holiday is. I would hang out with Snoop Dogg. Yes, definitely. Absolutely. Number 9, Angelina Jolie with her kids. I guess they're not including Brad Pitt in that one. Wow.
Just forget him. Yeah.
That got cold real quick.
Yeah.
I know some people are still fascinated by Angelina and her family, but this feels like it would be a fairly stoic adult with a lot of kids. So if anything, just to maybe give her a hand. Maybe just what she just needs a
true.
Hand or something.
Help her out.
Yeah.
And then finally on the list, did not pre-read these or anything, and maybe I should have because this one take. Finally on the list, Nick Cannon with all of his kids and their baby mamas. I doubt he'd host this kind of dinner, but can you imagine that Ticketmaster would have to sell tickets to something like this? So any honorable mentions, anybody? Anybody got any?
I got one that I know James would like to go to. Mm-hmm. Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively.
Yes. Yes, 1,000%.
Especially if they invite Hugh Jackman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And his family. That would be a heck of a – that'd be an interesting meal.
Blake Lively seems like a really fun, intelligent human being and wonderful and all. I love Ryan Reynolds. I would sit down on a park bench with him for hours, just sitting there watching birds, let alone having Thanksgiving dinner with him. I think that's a really good one, and one I did not think of. That's a good one, man. You know me better than I do, I think, actually. That's really good.
The only other one I can think of is because from what everyone in the industry I've heard from and just people in general, I'd like to spend, it doesn't have to be Thanksgiving, just like 2 hours with Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Because he seems like the most lovable person. And according to people in the business, he's like a really lovable guy.
Yeah, everybody, that's all anybody's ever said. Yeah, he's been around long enough now, you would think that if there was anything, you know, bad or anything that had been come out by now.
Yeah, yeah.
Melissa, do you got any?
Yeah, for me, the first person, you guys know I don't really get into celebrities like
personal
lives because I don't care. it's their personal life.
But
the first person that came to mind for me was Jack Black.
Oh.
Because I think it would be fun to just hang out with him. Well, then I looked up who his wife is, and he's married to Tanya Hayden, who is a musician and a singer.
Mm-hmm.
And they have two kids together. They would be fun to hang out with.
That would be a lot of fun. I forgot they were married. Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Break out the guitar after the meal.
Right?
Oh, have a sing-along. How much fun would that be?
Oh, my goodness. It would be so fun.
You get lucky and Kyle shows up. You know?
Oh, hey, Kyle Gass,
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Yeah.
Son, I'd stop by. Ooh, Tenacious D.
Yeah.
Great answer, Melissa.
That was
great
a good one.
I would actually love to. I think it would be a lot of fun to have Thanksgiving with Conan, my old boss. I think that not only that would be fun, but I think that I know for a fact because he would talk about this. They really like go all out on Thanksgiving. Like they really have a big one.
I believe it.
They typical. You know, as this is coming from him, not me saying this, but typical Irish family. You know, a lot of people, a lot of food, and a lot of laughter. And the way he would make it sound, it just like it. When I was working there, I was in California and was away from my family. So it was my first Thanksgiving without not being around my family and everything. And he actually invited me over, and I did not go. I felt incredibly rude. Well, for one, I was the only
writer slash intern that was invited. And I felt incredibly weird about that and guilty about it. But then he started talking about that they were going out of state and they're going back east and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, Matt. Are you expecting me to like go with you out east or something?
Is he going to Boston?
I ain't got money for a plane ticket. I don't know. And I was embarrassed. And I didn't want to tell him that I didn't have money for a ticket or any of this stuff or anything. But just the way he talked about that, it sounded like, oh, wow, that sounds like if I can't be with my family... You know,
sounds like a lot of fun, right?
Yeah, I think that would be a great
And by
one.
The way, it sounds like, what's one more person? You know, it's like a big group of people.
Yeah. But I never get to share stories like that about him.
That's
and
great.
I think that it's pretty cool that he was that kind of person. It's not like he knew me. He knew who I was, but he didn't know me.
But you're an intern, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we sat back and had tons of conversations or anything like that. Right. I'm another body running around backstage.
Right.
I thought that was pretty cool. So that would be one that I would like to make good on. That'd be fun, I think.
Someday.
But now that you brought that up, I would probably also would enjoy like John Oliver or Stephen Colbert, because I just like listening to them talk.
Well, John Stewart was my first thought. Mm-hmm. I was actually going to say John Stewart and his wife, because they seem like such a great people. And where they live, they've turned into an animal sanctuary. So you get that added bonus of it and everything like that. But then I thought of that whole memory with Conan and everything. And I should say Mr. O'Brien. I call him Conan.
Or Conan, as I call him.
I go a little too personal sometimes. I can get myself in trouble. We will take a quick commercial break, get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with nothing but fun and entertaining things for you right here on Mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you at 9:38 on the clock. Got an interesting one to dive into here. If you're not buying anything on Black Friday, feel free to celebrate this holiday instead. This Friday, the 25th, is also Buy Nothing Day, a sort of anti-Black Friday alternative. It's been a thing for 30 years.
Wow.
Really?
A guy in Canada started it in 1992 as, quote, a day for society to examine the issues of overconsumption. It was originally in September, but got moved to Black Friday in 1997. The main way to celebrate is to buy nothing all day, and you're encouraged to go out and do something fun that's free. The truly devoted have also done things like going to shopping malls and cutting up their credit cards so there's no other option.
Jeez.
Seems a little extreme.
It does seem a little militant, even for me. I mean, that's saying something if I'm calling something like that. Yeah,
no kidding.
If you are shopping on Black Friday, we won't judge. Just save a little bit of for the next day, too. Small Business Saturday. A poll for it found 64% of us sometimes feel guilty for shopping at big chains. Now, before we wrap up this segment, we will get into Small Business Saturday and our own Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce and what they do for that.
Yeah.
So we will take time for that. Don't worry about that part. I just want to focus on this day and the idea of this. Because actually, this goes back to Bob and I doing the show together talking about this and, kind of working on it. It's kind of funny. And not that long amount of time from then to now, how much has changed. When Bob and I were talking about this, it was just commonplace. If you worked in retail, you were working on Friday.
Yep.
And you were working early. And there were lots of people. We would get calls and talk to people a lot about, I can't go out of town and see my relatives up north or down south or whatever because I got to work Friday morning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would think, and I don't know, I don't feel comfortable enough to say the average, but it certainly is a lot more people. Now it has become more niche, more hip, more popular to give your employees the day off and to shut your doors that day. Mm-hmm. The PR you get from this alone is you can make the argument worth more than any balance you're going to have at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So it is kind of cool that we seem like we're getting more and more into a society of that, where we're giving the day off, but there's still a lot of people working and still a lot about that day. This sounds really good in theory. Hey, I'm going to stand up. Overconsumption is something that we need to focus on and discuss as a society. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. All that's all well and good. you're not really hurting anybody but small business, you know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, okay, so I'm not going to go stop at and shop at this big conglomerate. I'm really hurting that conglomerate. They don't know you, man. They don't even know you're not shopping.
Yeah, they
have no clue. Like, you and your whole family do this, or you and multiple families. You and your whole neighborhood do this. Mm-hmm. It ain't going to put a dent in a Walmart. It ain't going to put a dent in any of these stores.
No.
What you're doing is the people that are working, they got nothing to do. I mean, all know how slow the clock moves when there's nothing to do at the job.
Right, right.
I'm not saying that's a reason to go shop, but I mean, I don't think that you're. This all sounds well and good in theory, but you ain't really doing it. I mean, what damage? What are you really accomplishing here?
You're not helping the workers by not going.
Yeah, right.
It is not that different to me than going to the gas station and complaining to the clerk about the gas price.
Right.
They got no control over that, man. What are you doing? Like, you're waste. Not only are you holding up the line, but you're being a jerk. Yeah. This person has no control over that. The people that are working are just trying to make a buck. Most of them are probably working minimum wage.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not hurting anybody.
It seems, it's kind of, this ties back into the bringing up certain topics for Thanksgiving. What's it about? It's about you.
Yep.
It's like, I'm taking a stand against blah, 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 whatever it is, you know. And it's about, it's not going to do anything. It's just going to be that to show you, this is what I do kind of thing. It's like, okay, whatever,
Instead of what about ism, what about me ism? It is really what it turns into. Look at me, what I'm doing and standing up for this cause. I'll never forget the guys that would go to the bar and they would talk about this or that, thinking that the women would like it. And they're like, they see right through you, man, right?
Yeah.
I mean, these are not fools you're talking about. That never worked. It reminds me of like this this idea of just doing something just to kind of like... To create, not create a cause, but to act like you're standing by a cause. Act like you're standing for something. Well, really, what are you standing for, man? You're just standing. Sit down. you're in the way. Now, if you want to talk about overconsumption, you want to talk about making people work on that day, I'm all for that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But this idea of I'm taking a stand and I'm not purchasing anything on Friday, therefore I'm a good person. Like,
you want to make a difference? Guess what? You want you do? Let's go talk to some people.
Yeah.
Get a group together.
Yeah.
Do solidarity. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. If you get a big bunch of people together, then they'll start to listen. But you just doing it like this, no, it's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
There are ways to counter Black Friday. Save your money for Saturday, and do small
giving
business
Tuesday.
Saturday. Or Giving Tuesday. Absolutely, yep. Seth. Yes.
Do something like that instead.
Yeah. I think the idea of... just standing on this hill that nobody is asking you to stand on. Nobody's.
Yeah, we see you up there. Bye.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's great. Yep.
We're going to go shop at the small businesses in town.
Right.
Have fun up there.
Yeah.
And thank you for setting us up, Melissa. I did want to mention Small Business Saturday, of course, here in Wisconsin Rapids. Our friends over at the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce have this Small Business Saturday. Support local businesses in the Heart of Wisconsin area by participating in their Shopping Passport and receive a chance to win gift certificates and prizes. This year's Shopping Passports will run Saturday, November 26th through Tuesday, November 29th. The Small Business Shopping Passport will take you on a holiday shopping spree, giving you multiple chances to win prizes along the way.
Awesome.
And how do you enter the win? Stop and shop at a minimum of 3 businesses and get your passport stamped, signed. Prizes consists of gift cards and a grand prize.
Nice.
Ooh, 3. That's not too bad.
No.
Passports are available at participating businesses right now, starting on November 26th, or at the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce beginning on Monday. They're already there, so that's cool.
You can drop by today if you want.
And then you'll leave your completed passport with the last business you visited, drop them off at the chamber, or email them to membership@wisconsinrapidschamber.com. You can find out all this information at the Heart of Wisconsin's Facebook page or by going to their website, wisconsinrapidschamber.com.
Mm.
Buy a local, support local. It's what we're all about here.
Mm-hmm.
And as a side note, if I don't know, she can correct me if I'm wrong. I do believe that when she worked there, the passport thing was a bit of Steph's idea. I believe, if I remember correctly, she had at least something to do with that.
Yeah.
I believe.
Mm. Sounds like her.
And it does, doesn't that? Oh, that yeah. yeah. That, now that we've worked with her for a while, we get. Yeah. I love giving her any credit we can whenever mm-hmm. we do. Working behind the scenes, you don't get that very often, and especially in radio traditionally, yeah. that yeah. just didn't happen. So, we around here, we definitely appreciate our staff.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty cool one, and really just wherever you're listening to us, Saturday is of course a shop small day. Shop small, mm-hmm. you know, small businesses
shop
and everything.
Small Saturday, mm-hmm. so and it kicks off Shop Small Wisconsin.
That's right. Yeah,
there you go.
Yep. Encourage you to do that, everybody.
Something special from Wisconsin. Don't forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Just go to somethingspecialwi.com. It's all one word. Somethingspecialwi.com and get yourself some amazing products, including the greatest maple syrup there may ever be. Take a break. We'll come back with some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, and get you ready for Turkey Day coming up on Mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio. Back here on Mornings on WFHR, Melissa, Seth, and James, and we get into a maybe a That Ain't Right story. You guys can decide on this one if you'd
All
like.
Right.
There are now two reasons to root for your country in the World Cup. You're a soccer fan who wants to see your team triumph, or you really like free beer. Over the weekend, FIFA announced that Qatar was banning beer sales in all eight stadiums just 2 days before the World Cup was set to start. Some more dirty pool from FIFA on that one.
Yes,
they knew about this beforehand, of course, and waited to tell people and all that. That's very, 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 you know.
Underhanded.
Yeah, yeah, but that's FIFA. Anything you think is corrupt in life, let me trump that with FIFA. anything you can throw at me, I don't care what it is. You can throw this, this, and this. I can immediately counter it with this story from FIFA or this story or this story. I mean, they have just forever been known for
this.
The
worst, yes.
The news came despite the fact that Anheuser-Busch paid $75 million to make Budweiser the official beer of FIFA and the World Cup.
Oh.
It ain't just us they lied to, everybody. No. It ain't just us that they hide this stuff from. It's
yep.
the core. It's businesses. It's and specifically American businesses. Huh. After the announcement was made, Budweiser tweeted, "Well, this is awkward." Now, I think you can do two things at once here.
Mm-hmm.
Qatar is a conservative Muslim nation that strictly limits alcohol.
Right.
When they originally bid for the World Cup years ago, they insisted they'd be cool with beer in the stadiums, mm-hmm. but it was basically bait and switch.
Yep.
If you are walking into this World Cup, or any World Cup for that matter, almost anything in life, and you're expecting a moral compass or putting your moral compass on this, you're never going to watch anything again for the rest of your life. I can't think of his name now. He had this great joke about, hey, you don't want to listen to any musicians that do drugs? Okay, then go home and take every single record, every single CD, every single thing you have and throw them in the trash. Because there is no artist you can talk about that has not had at least one drop of alcohol or one kind of thing or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So really, you have to pick and choose here. Where are you going to stand?
Yeah.
Does it mean that much to you? Or can you, chew gum and walk at the same time and
right.
be able to do both? I'm very into the World Cup. I think soccer's cool. I like this because it's like the Olympics to me. I'm a homer, and of course. And so one of the things I enjoy the most is when we're all on the same team. You know, usually my whole life, most of my life, I've lived in places where they are not fans of my team. This is the one time a year or the Olympics where, hey, it's USA, USA. We're all on the same team. I love that. I think it's really cool. And I think it's cool all other nations do this. That's the thing I focus on. I focus on the game. I focus on those things. And I stay informed. I understand the human rights violations and the thousands of people that died to make these stadiums. They're on my mind. They're in my heart when I'm watching these games. I can do both. I know I'm not saying that I'm a magician or anybody. I'm telling others to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that that's the world we live in.
Yep.
Yeah. I refuse to get into the whataboutism. Well, they're evil, but what about this evil person? Or what about this evil person?
It just detracts.
That never ends. It never ends.
You can always
keep
going and
going
and going.
There's always going to be somebody. Yeah. It's like mom used to tell you when you were a kid. You think you got it bad. There's always somebody that's got it worse than you.
Yeah.
It's the same story. Yeah. It's the same type of thing.
Well, and the problem for me is, okay, if Qatar, even discounting the reason they got it in the first place, just discount all that stuff. If they would have just come out at the very beginning and said, sorry, because of our religious beliefs, we are not going to serve alcohol at the thing, that would have been fine. They could have done that.
I have zero issue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no
problem. But what they did?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
But of course, yeah, they didn't because they knew people wouldn't come.
Right.
And they didn't want to go there anyway.
This is actually, no. this even falls in, the really part about, the one of the other things that bothers me so much about this is this really falls on Muslim people. And Muslim people got it hard enough. Like, this is coming from a Jew, okay? I have myself met nothing but great Muslim people. I've got friends that are Muslim. I have a very good connection with a lot of people in my own neighborhood with that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have a hard enough time with so many of these things. The FIFA makes it even harder on them. If we walked into this and, hey, it's that way, I think people would be a little more understanding. But it's the underhanded stuff, the lying stuff and everything.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, silver linings, Budweiser found an amazing way to free publicity here. They announced, Budweiser announced that they will ship all banned unsold beer to the country that wins the World Cup.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And they are extremely serious. A rep says, quote, we will host the ultimate championship celebration for the winning country because for the winning fans, they've taken the world. More details will be shared when we get closer to the finals. By the way, Anheuser-Busch is not going to sweep this under the rug. They're reportedly asking for $47 million back from FIFA following the last-minute deal gone flat.
As well they should.
They should.
Yep. Yep.
That's a breach of contract.
And,
yeah.
Right. And they've got the wherewithal and the finances to fight this.
Yes,
yeah,
they do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Yeah, they do. That's a good point, Melissa. I didn't
as
even
opposed,
think of that.
As opposed to all of the people that traveled there and put up with whatever else they had to go through to get into this game in this country.
Well, not to mention, I mean, you see the I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but they've been following a lot of the reporting out of there, and there's a lot of like real actual journalistic reporting going on with a lot of the way that they treat human rights and everything.
And they're being attacked. Their cameras are being grabbed and they're being stifled, and it's not a good situation.
No.
If nothing else, maybe this will finally be the wake-up call to people to see how awful FIFA is.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't need it already, but come on.
It really
at least,
is.
This so. Puts it in stark relief.
They ruin a beautiful game.
They do, yeah.
Another That Ain't Right story here, sort of. I guess another one, I meant to say both of these are stories where you can go ahead and you play at home if you choose that this is a That Ain't Right or not.
Mm-hmm.
If working from home is starting to feel stale, how about going for a drive instead? Ford just debuted a new type of steering wheel that transforms into a table for your laptop.
Hey!
The whole steering wheel can tilt forward when you're parked, and there's a tray that fits on top, so it doubles as a laptop stand, or you could eat on it, too.
Oh, my gosh.
That's kind of cool.
They're only offering it in Europe for now in two different types of vans, but there's no reason that they won't make it here, especially if they sell well, which they are. So I'm showing Seth a visual of it.
Oh, let me grab my glasses.
Oh, yeah, you can. So it's a normal steering wheel, and it does tilt. Like, think about your table at your at the airport or in the airplane. It reminds me of that.
Yeah,
the little tables you have in the airport or in the airline.
It's very similar in size too. I think of that. So maybe a little bit bigger.
And then it's got a little flat thing that you put on top of it.
Yeah, that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, we're workaholics. Okay, we have a problem. And again, this is coming from me, like one of the biggest workaholics of all
maybe
time.
Maybe they shouldn't release it in Europe because they're much more smart about taking breaks and stuff and not working so hard. They're like, oh, what. Maybe eating. The eating, I think, will get bigger on that than the laptop thing.
I'm all for innovation and everything, but man, like we can't even. Used to be, well, the greatest part of my day is that 5 minutes home from driving home from work or whatever, and I have that moment of peace, and I can just listen to music or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, not anymore. Get to work.
Okay, but did you guys see the other part of this? In the back of the van, the seats can be turned around so you can have a mini conference room.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. See, no, the video we have doesn't show that.
That just showed the steering wheel, yeah.
No, I found another article, and yeah, the two rear rows of seats can be variously removed individually, folded down to serve as consoles, and the second row can be turned around to face the rear to create a mini conference room.
Great.
Interesting.
Now you can take your meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, office my God. On the road.
They have just ruined vehicles.
I love the idea of parents with multiple kids seeing this and being like, yeah, we'll take that. Yeah, they'll use that. Forget about your conferences and everything. Yeah.
They use it for like a family thing. Yes, that's different. Yes. But yeah, conference, come on.
Did anybody else immediately have pop in their head the old station wagons? Remember the old station wagons they used to flat them down in the back?
Yep.
Yeah, or the seat that faced backwards.
Yes.
And very dangerous.
We had one of those as a school bus when I was in grade school, and we always fought over who got to sit in the very, very back, because you were furthest away from the teacher, driver.
Of course.
Nice.
You know, so you get away with stuff back there.
Melissa, you weren't like that, were you?
No.
Melissa, I was a perfect angel.
Absolutely. I'm sure you were.
Absolutely. You can tell the horns hold up her halo.
That's right.
Shush.
We usually feature good stories of the day around here and everything. Well, you guys are our good story of the day, the best listeners in radio, and I don't care if it sounds corny. Mm-hmm. I do this usually every year on Thanksgiving because we are so eternally thankful for all of you. Mm-hmm. We literally don't have a station without our listeners.
You got it.
We've gone through two different owners in the last year, everybody, and that is because there's something here worth owning. There's something here worth having, being a part of, and it's thanks to you out there. Mm-hmm. It's thanks to our community, thanks to our listenership all over the world. Literally, we got our people in Europe. We got people down in Florida and Vermont. This morning show has a nice collection of fans, and we are so very thankful to every single one of you. Big thank you to all the local businesses that sponsor our shows, Misty's, Quality Plus, Culver's, everybody that has worked with us and been on this airwaves with us over the years. I want to say a big shout out to our friends at FRM and Connie and the gang, giving us FRM Fridays like they did when they did. Big thank you to the best listeners in radio. We appreciate all you, and just want to extend that to our staff. I work with the greatest people in the world. I could not ask for a better team, every single one of them. Appreciate all you guys and the great work that you do. That's what I'm thankful for.
And thankful to our host, James Mailoff.
Thank you, James.
Who has stuck it through so much in the last several years. He's still here, everybody. He has made it through. He's still here.
We appreciate you, too,
we
James.
Do.
Nice job, you guys. You read that just as I wrote it. I did notice you both. You both X'd off for the dashing. Dashing. I noticed you didn't say that part.
We're not going to go overboard.
Far.
Yeah, a little bit.
We don't want to inflate your head too much.
Probably a good
we need
call,
to keep you on the ground.
Probably a good idea. Melissa, have a great Thanksgiving.
Yes, you too, James.
Seth, have a good one.
You as well, my friend.
We'll be back with another morning show for you on Friday. Have a good Thanksgiving, everybody. Stick around for Money Magazine right here at Heather. You say it.
WFHR. Wisconsin Rapids.